This is an exclusive presentation of WoWo 1190 AM and 107.5 FM, Unholstered.
Welcome back. We are finally here for another edition of Unholstered. Hopefully you're having a great weekend. My name is Kayla Blakeslee, and I am just one of your hosts.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Captain Sophia Rosales-Gatina. I'm with the Fort Wayne Police Department, and welcome back to the show, Unholstered.
Sophia, I will say this. The topic that we have today, you and I have talked about a lot.
We have.
The topic is marijuana. Last week, we had on a really fantastic guest, and when the mic went off...
The good stuff happens.
The good stuff always happens. Isn't that the case? Not that the show wasn't great, because it was. But when the mic went off, we were talking about opioids and fentanyl specifically last week. But we started talking about marijuana off the air, and that in itself could have been a whole new episode. So I said last week to our guest, you've got to come back. We have to have this truly unfiltered conversation. Yeah. About marijuana, so we brought him back.
Yeah, and it's important to have those conversations. And like I said, you know, we go down these rabbit holes after the show. Everybody knows when our mics get turned off. We start talking about things, and then things morph into idea topics. So, you know, we've had several people on before in the previous shows to talk about marijuana, but Mark had a different perspective than everyone else had, and he decided he would come back and join us. So go ahead, Mark, introduce yourself once again.
Yeah, my name is Mark Girardo. I'm a sergeant and a detective with the Fort Wayne Vice Narcotics Division.
Oh, I will say before we get started, I forgot to mention this last show. Mark was on previously as a patrol officer, but he did get a promotion in between that
time.
You
know what?
He was a patrolman, now he's a sergeant.
So I meant to ask that last time. So I'm glad you actually clarified that, because I completely lost train of thought last episode, because I love a good fentanyl conversation, you know?
Yeah.
So I forgot to bring it up. I also should mention this too, Sophia, while we're on the topic of things we're forgetting to talk about. We've had a lot of people reach out to us asking us how to download the Unholstered podcast. That's on me. I just assumed everyone kind of knew how to download a podcast, but we're on Spotify. We are on iTunes. We are on Google for your Android devices. All of your devices should have a podcast app already built in. I'm an iPhone user, so mine's purple. You just click on that podcast button on your app, and you can search Unholstered. Or if you're still really like, KB, I have no idea, you can just go to Google and Google Unholstered podcast, and you can find a link that way. So those are the three platforms we're on. iTunes, Spotify, and Google for Android device.
All right.
Okay, now I want to get to the good stuff. Mark, first and foremost, so the mics went off last weekend, and you really should download that podcast if you haven't heard it. And we actually got to talking about your undercover work. And you were telling us about the, quote, marijuana, if you will, that you used during your undercover operations, wizard weed. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, and let's clarify. One, the Fort Wayne Police Department does not endorse using narcotics. We actually have a clause in there because we have had situations where officers or undercovers go into the house, and one of the things that drug dealers do to try and prove you're not a cop is make you use drugs. We have had officers actually had guns put to their head, and they're forcing them to say, you're going to smoke crack, or you're going to snort this heroin, or whatever it is, harsh drug. Well, we don't want officers doing that, and we have ways of hearing what's going on in the room when it's on our officers. And we have to either, A, come rescue them, or they have to talk their way out of it. So what we were talking about is this stuff, and it had the name wizard weed. Kind of looks like really, a marijuana user will know it is like really crappy marijuana. Like it's like got lots of stems and seeds and stuff in it. But when you burn it, it smells just like real marijuana, but it has no THC content. And we didn't smoke it, but if I let it burn in a car... It smelled just like marijuana, so if I was doing a drug deal undercover, it smelled like I was getting high, which is pretty common for drug users. They use marijuana along with the other illicit drugs that they're on. So it was kind of like a drug dealer camouflage for us.
Yeah, I find it fascinating, the whole undercover world and the fact that you work so deeply undercover, and we don't have to talk about all of that because I'm sure you don't want to give away all your tips and tricks, but I will say this: when you walked in today, it's the first time I've ever seen you not in uniform. You legit look undercover today.
Good, that's good.
I wouldn't have recognized you. In fact, if we were walking on the street and I saw you, you know, walking into the gas station, I don't even know, Mark, if I would have recognized
you. It's weird to see people out of uniform.
It is.
I mean, you say the same thing about me.
I do. I'm used to it now.
Yeah, now. Yeah, because I've been for a couple months now on light duty. But it's weird for me to see them out of uniform, too. Like, especially when we went to Beards. That really threw me, because everybody looks so different with a beard than when they do without it.
Because you weren't allowed to have beards, I'm assuming, at
one point? Until a couple of years ago.
Well, Mark, you are freshly shaven. You look good, even though you do look like you're undercover right now. But I bring up the wizard weed because I think it's just kind of such a great transition in talking about actual marijuana, because we had this conversation off the air last week and we were talking about the wizard weed, and somehow that caused us to go down this rabbit hole, as Sophia mentioned, about marijuana in general. And I asked you, well, what do you think, Mark? Do you think marijuana should be legalized or not? So I want to ask you now on the mic, but I want to ask you, as a citizen and as a member of the Fort Wayne Police Department.
So really, let's just go back to like my background. And there is a history with me and drug users. There's a whole podcast. I do this one every once in a while. It's a Bare Knuckle Recovery with Nate Mullering and Tommy Streeter. I've speak on opiates quite a bit throughout the year. I talk to students. I talk to adults. And one of the things that came about in my career, my going on 26 years in law enforcement, is one, I realized I've always liked people. And I also have a degree in biology, and I did biochem research for Purdue University after I got out of the military. So I have a degree in biology and basically chemistry. And so I'm a problem-solving guy. So I'm pretty open-minded, although I'm a police officer, and everybody, oh, you're a police officer. Of course, you're going to hate legalizing drugs. It really didn't come from that, where I am a big no on legalizing marijuana. It came from the fact that for 19 years working in narcotics, I used to interview every single person I found that was overdosed. Like, we'd find them passed out at a light with a needle in their arm. Let's say Carroll students, Leo students, all our local high schools are represented in this. Nobody's exempt. So what I found is every single time, one of my first questions I ask them is, how old were you when you used your first drug? And that's when you were surprised by, we're getting into now, like, they're starting hard drugs in like sixth grade.
Yeah, that's insane.
Every single one of them. I have not to this day interviewed in hundreds, maybe a thousand interviews over my career, talked to a single person that did not start their drug usage with marijuana. They say it's not a gateway drug. That's the one of their big arguments that's pro-marijuana. It's not a gateway drug. If you ask my buddy Nate Mullering, who was deep, like dead twice in 24 hours from overdosing on heroin and fentanyl, he will tell you marijuana is most definitely a gateway drug. Tommy Streeter will tell you most definitely a gateway drug. So there's the first argument that was made early on in the marijuana pro or against, you know, it's a lie. It's not a gateway drug. It is a gateway drug.
How is it, though, that they, whoever they are, I don't know who's actually saying this, how can they, whether it's lawmakers, doctors, whatever, say it's not a gateway drug when you are proof, and there's so much proof out there, people like Nate and Tommy, who will tell you, oh yeah, I started with marijuana. So I don't even get where you can get this talking point of, quote, it's not a gateway drug.
It is a gateway drug, and it's just as much a gateway drug as alcohol can be. Alcohol is also a gateway drug, and that's a big argument from the marijuana. Well, alcohol is a drug, and it causes all these problems. It does. Mm-hmm. We don't need to legalize another drug to damage our society in the ways that it damages our society, especially in the ways that we're seeing now, not just with my opinion, but with actually clinical proof, studies being done by universities. We're seeing the adverse effects and the overreaching problems that come with it. I'm not saying that marijuana couldn't be legalized in a controlled manner, but the way we're doing it right now is drive into Michigan and go into any head shop up there and tell me that's for medical purposes. I know they're recreational use as well, but that is the whole market. They make it look like candy and popsicles and chocolate and fudge, and it has all these other, it's about enticing people to use drugs.
Do you think that they say it's not a gateway drug because, well, I'm not an addict. I'm not an addict like that guy with a needle in his arm, and I smoke marijuana. So it's not a gateway drug. Do you think that they take it from their own perspective and not from someone who may have maybe some genetic code that makes them more susceptible to addiction? And this is just the start of that.
Yeah. And what I would say is just because somebody says it's a gateway drug doesn't mean that it is for everybody. Just like alcohol, some people can drink a little bit of alcohol. They never in their entire lives become alcoholics. They don't have all the other fallout from it for whatever reason, mental stability or mental illness or a genetic precursor towards being an alcoholic. Maybe they don't have those things, but I can say definitively that every single drug addict that went on to harder drugs used marijuana first. And I agree with you, Sophia. It's probably the people that are like, I just smoke pot every day. I have no desire to do any other drugs. Well, I drink a little bit of alcohol and I don't want to smoke crack. That doesn't mean that alcohol can't be a gateway drug into these other things.
Yeah. I firmly believe that it's just people's perspective, because it's not, because I'm not an addict doesn't mean that means it's not a gateway drug.
It's a pretty crappy argument.
I mean, I think so.
It's a really good point. Good point you make, but I'm saying to stand up there, you know, whether it be on the state house floor or even clear up to the house floor in D.C. and to say it's not a gateway drug just because it wasn't for me.
Yeah. And everybody I know that I talk to openly about their recovery or something has said the same thing.
Same. Yeah.
Same thing. I started with marijuana.
So, but what about on the flip side then, people who will say, but it has been proven studies, because there are some out there that do exist, that it does help, especially with medical issues, whether that be cancer or cataracts or MS. What would you say then, Mark?
Well, I say they're absolutely right. And what we know scientifically is that, you know, when somebody gets cancer and you end up with some kind of cancer that is causing a lot of pain, like you have like liver cancer or pancreatic cancer or some kind of bone marrow cancer, which can be just awful. It's an awful pain, I'm sure. I haven't experienced it, but I know that it is supposed to be excruciating. They have to be on chemotherapy. So the way I understand it is when you're on chemotherapy, you're taking radiation. It causes you to be nauseated. You don't want to have... You don't have an appetite. You just physically don't. You don't want to eat. And what marijuana can do for you is it suppresses that nausea. It actually creates like an appetite for you. And it also has pain relief factors in it as well. So it's kind of like a triple threat to coping with cancer. Well, yes, by all means, smoke marijuana. In fact, for those people, if they want to smoke a pound a day, I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I can't understand or even begin to... relate to somebody that has that kind of pain. If that helps them, by all means, Indiana, legalize that portion. But the problem is they start off saying, well, it's for legalized marijuana. And then I know I have people here in Indiana, I catch them all the time. They've got medical marijuana cards from other states mm-hmm. with marijuana on them. There's nothing wrong with them. They're a 19-year-old kid. They're a 25-year-old whoever. They don't have any health problems because I asked them. Well, how'd you get it? And they'll explain to me how they go through the process, and it's not very strict. It's pretty much an open market for it. So your altruistic idea that marijuana is helping people, yes, that's true, but that's not why most of these places are legalizing marijuana.
And I want to be clear, too, about something you said. You're talking about excruciating, unbearable pain. You're not talking about someone who might break an arm or maybe someone who has, you know, some anxiety. You're not saying, yeah, let's legalize it for all said medical issues. You're talking about very specific medical issues.
Correct. And orchestrated and controlled by doctors.
In a controlled environment. And that's something Sophia and I have talked a lot about here on the show. And I think I speak for you when I say, Sophia, we both kind of fall in that area of, yes, legalizing it in a controlled
in a clinical setting.
Yeah, clinical setting, yes.
Like I go in to get chemotherapy, I have to go somewhere to do that.
Yes.
I have to go somewhere to do the marijuana, where it's a controlled environment. I know what I'm getting. It's not just Jimmy's plant in the back that I'm rolling up in a
right
and smoking. So it's just, you know.
It's not wizard weed.
Yeah, it's not wizard weed. And we know the potency. We know how it's grown, where it's grown. And I know that people say that, well, in these shops, yes, but a lot of times, you know, people come out and they're just getting it from their own grown plant. Well, what plant is it? Is it genetically modified? What is it genetically modified to?
I'm glad you brought that up. So I just read it. I've been reading recent articles running up to this show. So one of the recent articles I read, a lot of it comes out of the West Coast. So here I'm going to dispel argument number two that they had for years. Well, if we legalize marijuana, it'll decriminalize it. Yes, people using it won't go to jail. Mm-hmm. Well, the decriminalization will also keep the drug cartels out. So let's just address that right now, because really at the end of this, we'll get back to it's the same talk that we have when we talk about opiates or any other drug. This is always about money. And with our politicians, it's either about money and lobbyists or it's about ignorance. Mm-hmm. And I'll argue it. I'd go to the state house floor and I'd argue this with them right now. And I take good people with me that we dispel any of these arguments. So here's the argument. So this thing about keeping the drug cartels out. So recently I read an article, Oregon, California, and Washington are having a horrible time. There was an article that came out in Oregon that said that 85% of their marijuana is coming from the drug cartels. I challenge anybody, look this up. LA Times just put out a huge article. We now have human trafficking going to marijuana fields in America, and you're going to hate to hear me say it, but it's both Mexican drug cartel and Chinese drug cartels. Mm-hmm. In Oregon, they just had one of their biggest illegal marijuana bust in Oregon. It was 17,000 plants. I think it was like I want to say 500 tons of marijuana processed. So the problem with it is when they grow this marijuana to keep pests and rodents out, they spray it with like rat repellents and they're using poisons.
Gosh.
This is going all on the plants. They are now distributing out of these three states to the entire world. Marijuana. So this illicit marijuana operation, and what makes it hard for law enforcement is because it's legalized there. Well, when they're looking for these illegal marijuana fields, you have all these legalized hemp and marijuana fields. It's hard for them to distinguish which one is which. And this, again, the drug cartels, human trafficking. They're living in squalor, horrible medical conditions. They're not being paid hardly anything. It's because they owe the cartels, either Chinese or Mexican. In the Chinese grows that they just found, it's Chinese nationals that have been human trafficked over to America. So it's basically forced labor and slavery producing all this marijuana, and it's hard now for, they've just made it harder for law enforcement to even help these people. So from a human standpoint is, it's just creating human destruction again. We're back to a drug, and if we have time, we'll go on and move on to THC psychosis. Because that is our new big problem. Between that, for our teenagers and our young kids smoking marijuana, there are serious health problems they're getting that people usually don't get until they're in their 70s and 80s.
Oh, wow.
And I'll piggyback on what you said in that LA article, LA Times article. They also said that there's a specific law specific to California that if you don't produce or you refuse to produce in the county marijuana grows, if you refuse to allow them in your county, you do not get law enforcement funds to fight marijuana in your county.
Wow.
I mean, so they go to those counties and they know which ones they are, and they can grow there because they know these rural counties do not have the manpower to go in and tackle that.
Now
they don't have the financial resources to do it either. So they are just infiltrating all those counties who don't want it and just illegally growing there, but at an astronomical rate, and then pushing that stuff out, and they're destroying watersheds, they're taking water, and right now California's in that drought, they have no water. So if you have a watershed and it's getting completely destroyed or contaminated by the fertilizers that they're using.
Huge environmental impact because these fields are massive. Like these are not like your little, somebody's got 10 plants in their backyard. I mean, 17,000 plants.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's a huge operation.
I like this, though. I like this whole, like, myth-busting road that we're walking down.
That's what the show's all about,
right? That's what it's all about. So, I mean, A, you've kind of busted the one. Yes, it is a gateway drug. B, it's not really going to do a darn thing to these cartels. What about the fact that people do say all this tax revenue?
So it's interesting. So it's been quite a while ago, and I'd have to pull the article up, and I apologize to the listeners for not having
off spot.
No, that's okay. And this is but what's interesting, I believe it was Stanford University did a study on how much money Colorado was making in tax revenue compared to what it cost them for having legalized marijuana. It was an interesting study. And the basis of the study is that what they found in the end, I'll distill it down without all the side effects to it, is for every dollar they earned in tax money, they spent $4.50 of the taxpayers' money. The reason was because when they legalized marijuana, what happened is just starting from the bottom, all the petty crimes went up. Well, let's just say marijuana, we'll just ask any pothead, how motivated to go to work are you when you're smoking marijuana? It's not exactly a motivating drug. Mm-hmm. So their work population decreased. They had a huge increase, spiked increases in petty crimes like breaking into cars, shoplifting, all the other things that narcotics dealing and selling and using that comes about with it. All those ills showed up. And one of the biggest reasons was that your $20 bag of pot before it was legalized, that from the drug cartels, was $20. That $20 bag now is like $50, $60, $70 because you have all this tax added on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's legalized in your state, I'm just thinking like the drug cartels, and they're big, oh, we're going to get the drug cartels out. The drug cartels, okay, well, I'll just flood your state with it. And when I'm walking around with my bag of marijuana, how does the police officer know that it came from the drug cartel or it came out of the head shop? It's now legal, so it doesn't matter where it came from.
Right.
I can't control that in law enforcement, so the state isn't really even getting their dues, so to speak. And then you have all these other physical attributes that are, basically problems that are coming with it. Healthcare, driving while high, accidents go up, your emergency rooms, your emergency services people all being taxed at a higher number or rate. Because now you have another drug that you've just endorsed to throw into your community.
Yeah, and there is no test other than, you know, in person test by the police to show that you're impaired. Right.
It's not like a breath test, right?
It, like we do alcohol. So we haven't caught up to that technology as of yet. So think about workplace accidents that may happen and all that other stuff. And
I was just going to say, can you imagine how many people would, like you mentioned work, you know, employment going down. Yeah. But also think about all of the employees going to work stoned. Right. Like, I get it. You're not supposed to go to work drunk either. I get it. Yeah. But if there is no test yet, what you're telling me to really, you know, confirm or not if Sophia's high at work. Okay, well, what's going to say that this is going to stop people from being high, showing up and operating heavy machinery?
Yeah, and how are they getting to work?
And how are they getting to work?
They're driving.
Correct.
That's kind of an angle
and it's scary.
I didn't think of. It is scary. And I think the other one, too, I like where you're kind of going with this, Mark, and I also would like to hear this. So you mentioned this particular person walking down the street with a bag of weed, and you don't know if it's from illegal cartels or some legalized shop in whom knows where. What kind of problems would this create for law enforcement? Let's say it is legalized here in Indiana. I mean, what kind of problems do you foresee coming from that for law enforcement?
Well, for us in law enforcement, it really is, if it's not against the law, it really doesn't create a problem for us in the kind of like on the front side. It's the backside stuff, again, that's going to...
Petty crimes.
It's all the crime.
Crashes,
we already have all these crimes. Like, our Walmarts are just being decimated every year by, like, people going in and thieving stuff, and that's mostly due to the meth and fentanyl addiction. Mm-hmm. Marijuana, we all, as police officers, me and Sophia know, marijuana is everywhere. I drive down the road, actually, coming home at 2 o'clock in the morning last night from my job, I'm behind a car. I can smell it. There's like a trunk full of marijuana because it's raw marijuana, and my windows are up, and I still smell it.
Wow.
As I'm following the car. So we understand that it's everywhere. Legalizing it is only going to increase those numbers because now I can go everywhere, anywhere with it all the time, and I have no fear as a drug user or drug runner. Let's just deal with the dealers. If, you know, if that's really what we want to talk about, the drug dealers, what do I do with them?
Mm-hmm.
It's legal. I carry a pound. It's personal use. The problem is, again, is we are woefully ignorant because we are not looking at the research and the data that's already out there. Mm-hmm. That's been for the last however many years it's been legalized in these other states, and looking at all the other aspects of the marijuana. We're just looking at, we want to smoke marijuana. It has this one health benefit, and we're going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And then
it all comes down to money, right?
Yeah.
It all comes back down to...
Yeah, well, that's politics for
you. Yeah, that's politics.
And we haven't even touched on yet, like, this thing with our... and again, back to the human side of me, outside of me being a police officer and in narcotics, like, looking at this purely from a scientific method. In other words, I have a hypothesis that this is bad, and then how do I go about proving that it is bad? Well, all the data is coming in. Well, I'm going to schools. I'm testing drugs. I'm being called in by the principals. Hey, we found this vape cartridge. You know, can you test it for THC? And we have already seen in Fort Wayne something called THC psychosis, and it's growing across America. And that, to me, that's super interesting to me because it's a science. It's a medical and it's a science thing. So THC psychosis is this. And it's problem number 4 with marijuana. The marijuana of the 1970s is not the same as the marijuana today. 1970s marijuana, you're looking at like 15 to 20% THC. Okay, it's pretty low concentration in marijuana. In these vape cartridges, it is now up to 98% THC. In fact, there's a little warning label. If you look at the boxes of legalized ones, and we're not even getting into all the illicit ones that are brought in by the Russian mafia that we raided a house a couple of years back with the FBI, where there were thousands of these illicit ones that were full of all kinds of other chemicals. They're actually so high in THC, it tells you and warns you, only use one or two puffs at a time.
Wow.
So I will tell you the story about a local high school here in Fort Wayne, a good high school and a good kid. He tried something, right? When I was a kid, I tried. So my dad was a cop, but I tried marijuana. I didn't like it, and I did it like twice. So I never did it again. This kid was trying something. He went to the bathroom. He took a couple puffs, went back to his classroom. He starts sweating profusely, and he tells his teacher he's not feeling good. They send him to the nurse's office. So by the time he gets to the nurse's office, it's really starting to have a bad effect on him. And I know this secondhand because the police officer that was there that had to deal with him told me the story. The kid basically blacked out but was still functioning. He stripped completely naked and was running through the school. He couldn't say it. It sounds funny, but it's scary because this kid had a mental lapse from using it. And you can, I challenge anybody, get on Google, type in THC psychosis. This is number one phenomenon, especially through the vape cartridge. Then we have the second health problem that's killing our kids is by the time they're in their 20s, if they're starting in their early teens smoking these vape cartridges, either nicotine or THC, there are chemicals in there. It's kind of like a syrupy. It's like a vitamin E compound. When you smoke these vape cartridges, it expands your alveoli in your lungs, the little sacs where the blood exchanges oxygen and carbon dioxide. It gets down in there, and then it scars them. So we have kids getting into their 20s or have COPD. They have to be on oxygen machines. We also are finding that the really high intake of THC from habitual marijuana users, we're having kids in their 20s, or I'm sorry, in their 30s and 40s already getting early onset dementia and Alzheimer type symptoms because it's damaging their brain.
So, first of all, what I'm hearing you say is that always everyone likes to say these vaping cartridges are like the way to go. If you're trying to quit smoking or you are going to smoke.
Smoke a cigarette.
Well, that's what I almost feel like you're saying without saying to some degree.
No, I'm saying it.
Like they are
smoke
the worst.
A cigarette. If you're going to have a problem, these vape cartridges, if you start studying them, one of the things is if you're getting illicit ones, like some of our teenagers do, they're full of like pesticides and herbicides. So you're now vaporizing a noxious chemical that's basically a poison to us, and you're putting it into your lungs. It's being shot straight line right into your oxygen, into your bloodstream.
As if parents don't have enough to worry about.
Right, yeah, if
parents,
we don't have enough things to do.
Yeah, and parents need to be aware of how their kids are getting these. Mm-hmm. They're getting these through chat, Snapchat. The dealers are on Snapchat. Hey, I'm here in this, you know, they're just, all these phones.
Digital drug dealing, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's big right now.
And that's what these kids are doing, and that's how they're finding them. So parents, be aware.
That's going to be our topic next time. Digital drug dealing, because I feel like that opens up another whole can of worms too in terms of enforcement. How on earth do you have jurisdiction if someone's selling it from you from Colorado to Indiana? That's a whole nother.
It is the new. It is the new open air drug market. But just so you know, we can still get to them.
I like the sounds of that. Let's end on that note. We always get them. We'll end on a positive.
Eventually,
here.
Just like
eventually.
A parent, I always find out. I always tell my kids, I always find out what you're doing. So tell me up front.
Well, I think we got to dive into this digital drug dealing coming up here on Unholstered. Right now, if you've missed any previous episodes, for example, the one we had last weekend with Mark, it's also one you have got to hear. It relates to fentanyl and opioids and how your kiddos are getting their hands on those as well. You can download the Unholstered podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or via Google for your Android device. Your town, your team, your topics. This is Unholstered.
Thanks for listening to Unholstered. Be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen. And remember, you can listen every Saturday morning at 10:30 on WoWo 1190 and 107.5 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.